الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد الحمد لله بفضل كرم إحسان الله سبحانه وتعالى Allah Rabbul Izzat has gathered us here in His house and Allah Rabbul Izzat will inshallah ta'ala allow for us to witness the khatam of the Quran Sharif, which is a very, very great thing, very big thing. Du'as are accepted and as we always hear from our seniors, our elders, that one is when we attend the khatam of a Quran Sharif, so that is something that takes 10-15 minutes depending how much the student recites. But that 10 minutes of recital, that is a culmination of years of efforts. And the effort is not only from the hafiz, but it is from the parents of that hafiz, the ustad of that hafiz, the institute that that hafiz is studying in, the community that got together to establish that institute. Don't know whose du'as were made, our akabirin, our pious predecessors who started all this work. Last night I was going to mention something in the talk there, as Mawlana Hasan Sahib's madrasa in Robertsham. What the place is? Robertsham. And it slipped my mind, Allah Ta'ala made me remember it now, that the Imam in the Salah, he recited Saba or Ashara. So there was a time in our country when before a Qari recited Saba, the MC had to explain to the community that, see, this Imam Sahib is not going to make mistakes, or he's not reading wrong, or he's not changing the Quran Sharif. This is what he's doing, that there are different qira'at, etc. And this person is now qualified in that science, and he will be reciting for us like that. In today's times, if somebody has to recite in Saba, nobody is surprised. Everybody knows. This is the barakat of the efforts of our elders, our seniors, our ulama, that this level of ilm has come within our communities. Even when a person travels to Haramain Sharifain, I'm not saying that we South Africans are very good. We have got our own flaws, our own gunas, our own shortcomings. But generally, if you observe the South Africans in the Haramain Sharifain, etc., so they know what they're supposed to be doing, by and large. You get one or two people that go offline, but by and large, when you observe the South African community, for example, if a South African person, he got his booking to go to the Riyazul Jannah. So he knows now that when I get into the Riyazul Jannah, I need to read the 2 rakat salah. I've got limited time here. And then I must raise my hands and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the South African, he will be talking with his friends about how long they left me there. It was a salah time and they allowed me to just stay away there. And we read the whole namaz. And 1 hour I spent in the Riyazul Jannah. He'll be talking about that. Why? Because the greatness of that place, the auspiciousness of that place, what he's supposed to be doing in that place, that ta'lim has been given to him already. But you find people from so many different nationalities, as soon as they enter the Riyazul Jannah, the first thing they do is their phones come off. One wonders whether they even read 2 rakat salah. They are more worried about capturing the moment on their iPhone or this phone or that phone, and then they need to phone the people back home that, oh, I'm here, check me out, I am here. Some are busy making a TikTok video out of it. That I am here in the Riyazul Jannah. Why? Because that person didn't receive that ta'aleem. He didn't receive that ta'aleem that look, when you go in there, this is what you're supposed to do. So we must make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that with all our weaknesses, definitely we got our shortcomings, etc. But there is a good level of ta'aleem in our country. And Allah Ta'ala mustn't show us the day that this is taken away from us. Because this has happened in many countries. It has happened in many countries where ta'aleem had reached a very high level. But then we started taking these institutes and these people for granted. We stopped making amal. We started fighting amongst ourselves rather than seeing how to promote the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And then a time came when those very same places which were darulums, those very same places which were masajid, which were khankas, which were marakis of deen, in some of them today, it is so sad that pigs are being reared. In some of those places today, those places have become brothels. Those places have become bars. There is no deen left. There is no sign of deen. The total opposite is being done in those places. So we must make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And we must remain steadfast on what Allah Ta'ala has given us and increase. Increase. So I was wondering what to speak about on this, in this particular jalsa. And I even sent a message to one person who had close ta'alluq with the Wazir-Mohim. And I told them, see, I don't have time now to go through the whole site. Find me one bayan that Hazrat gave on one Hibs Khatam occasion. Send it to me, maybe we can get some points from there. And before that recording could come, I just randomly opened Hazrat's website and I pressed on one bayan. And that bayan happened to be on the 17th of January 1997. It was a Jumma bayan, 17th of January 1997. And it happened to be Ramadan Sharif. It was Ramadan Sharif. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali probably wanted to speak about taqwa. Because in Ramadan Sharif, that's what we talk about. Allah Ta'ala gave us roza to develop taqwa. So he comments the bayan by reciting the ayat-e-kareema, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, wa may yattaqillaha yaj'al lahu makhraja. He read that ayat. But then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali went on to speak about the Quran Sharif. So I would like to share a few points from that bayan. So Hazrat mentioned that this wondrous nature of the Quran Sharif is such. See, Allah Ta'ala says, Sab'am minal mathani wal Quran al azim. This Quran Sharif, the wondrous nature of it is such, that no matter how many times the Quran Sharif is recited, one never gets tired of it. You take anything else, a person can say, this is my favorite book, and Allah forbid that a person is caught up in movies and all these things, or a person is caught up in music, Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Sometimes we think that these things are light, small things. But who wants to die as a munafiq? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that this music will create hypocrisy in the heart. Al-zina yumbitun nifaqa fil qalb. It will bring hypocrisy. Now we see, mashallah, there is rain. The very same places which were gone brown, the trees were bare. Now with a little bit of rain, everything is becoming lush. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that how water causes this the fields to become lush, causes things to grow. In the same way, music causes hypocrisy to come in the heart. Now who wants to die as a hypocrite? Who wants to die with nifaq in the heart? So Allah forbid that we are not caught up in these gunas. And if we are caught up, we make sincere tawbah. While we are here in this majma where Quran Sharif is going to be recited. Wallahi, brothers, you know, Allah is real. People talk about real time. Say real time. Allah Ta'ala is real. We raise our hands to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I got this deficiency in me. I want to give it up. I want to come out of it. You help me. If the person is sincere in his cry and is prepared to make that little bit effort, there's no reason why Allah mustn't help him to come out of it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, his mother had not yet accepted Islam. And he was keep trying to invite her to deen. Allah bless him with iman. He doesn't want his mother to be left out. One day he came in the suhbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua. My mother must bring iman. And Huzur Akdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. The yaqeen they had on the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu immediately ran home. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, immediately he ran home. When he gets home, he hears water. His mother is taking a ghusl. So he doesn't enter immediately. They didn't have homes like us. His mother is taking a ghusl. After she had taken ghusl, he sought permission to enter. And she told him to enter. And she told him that I am ready to reach out. So this is dua. We underestimate the power of dua. Each one of us, we know our skeletons in our closet. Cry to Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala to rid us. So if we are caught up in these gunas, we dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah take us out. So I don't know how we ended up with the TV and the... It's a habit that we are doing these things. I don't know how we ended up there. Ji, Jazakallah, Karisab. Karisab is helping us out from student days. He's still helping us out. So, if a person got one favorite movie, one favorite song, Allah forbid, even then you get tired of it. How many times is he going to listen to you? People even get tired of the fashion that they pay so much for. That's why the fashion industry has to keep changing. Certain fashion, they're so in love with you. But they do get tired of it after a while. That's why the fashion is to keep changing. But the Quran Sharif, every rakat of salah, you take a person who is a namazi, who is reading all his namaz every day, Allah make us like that. He's reading his sunnah, his sunnah tehir muqtada, his nawafil. Over and above that, he's reading tahajjud salah, he's reading ishraq, du'a, uwaqeen. And in every rakat, he's reading surah Fatiha. But till today, we didn't get anyone, not even a small child in the maktab who's nadan, who doesn't know, who stood up and said, but Apa, or Morana, you know what, man. Is it possible for me I can read something else besides the Surah Fatiha? This is the wondrous nature of the Quran. Because it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one can never tire, you know, some ulama mentioned, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar, used to make tawbah and istighfar, according to one hadith sharif, 70 times daily. According to one hadith sharif, 100 times daily. So ulama mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was masoom. He was sinless. What was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making tawbah and istighfar? So ulama said that he was doing it ta'liman lil ummah. He was teaching the ummah that we must make tawbah, we must make istighfar. Other ulama say that Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such, the marifat that Allah ta'ala had blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with, nobody else had. Our Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Islam rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned in one bayan of his, that if you want to know about Allah ta'ala, ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you want to know about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ask Allah ta'ala. That there is nobody on the surface of this earth who had that level of marifat of Allah ta'ala than Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And only Allah ta'ala truly knows the maqam of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this marifat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, nobody else had. But every moment of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life, Allah ta'ala was taking him to a higher level of marifat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to that higher level of marifat, then he made tawbah and istighfar regarding the previous level of marifat that he was on. So, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, there is no limit to it, there is no boundary to it. All the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, there is no limit to it, there is no boundary to it. The kalam of Allah Ta'ala is not created by Allah, it is a part of Allah Ta'ala. So there is no limit, there is no boundary to it. This is why you will read it, you will listen to it over and over, but you can never ever get enough of it. Because it is Allah's, it is a part of Allah Ta'ala. So this is this wondrous nature of the Quran Sharif. But then Hazrat mentioned that while it is an ibadat-e maqsooda to recite the Quran Sharif, that means it is an objective, it is an ibadat in itself to read the Quran Sharif. It is an ibadat in itself to listen to the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Once Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he requested Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu to read Quran Sharif to him. And Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I going to read Quran Sharif to you, whereas the Quran Sharif is revealed upon you? In other words, how can I do that? How can I read to you when the Quran Sharif is revealed to you? So Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that, gee, but I love to hear it from somebody else also. So this is also something we as fathers ask ourselves. I put my child in the hips class. His mother must transport him up and down. I don't have the time for that. He must go, mother must take him up and down, or the driver must take him up and down. When he came, when he went, all that, I don't know, I'm very busy. The mother tell me how much the fees amount, I'll forget to pay it also end of the year when they send me one chitti red, the fees outstanding, okay, I'll pay the fees. Right? Ask myself that I put my son in the gift class. He's becoming a Hafizul Quran. How many times did I call my son and tell him, Bachcho, read Quran Sharif to me. Maybe I never had the opportunity to become a Hafizul Quran. Maybe I never had the opportunity to even learn Tajweed. The time when I was in Maktab, they were not really concentrating on Tajweed. Now, Alhamdulillah, my son is being used by one Qari Sahib. He's reading with the tweet, learning with the tweet. One day did I call my son, did I get the family together without any poster. There's no lunch. Nobody is going to come and pat me on the back. But just for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala to cause the noor of the tilawat of Quran Sharif to permeate my home. I got Bapur machine, I got Loban burner, I got this one, that one. My house must smell like the Haram Sharif when we enter. But one day should I call my child and say, Bachchu, come, read Quran Sharif for us. We got a Hafiz in the home. Read Quran Sharif for us. That is how much my involvement is in his Quran. That is how much my attachment is to the Kalam of Allah Ta'ala. We must weigh it ourselves. Weigh it ourselves. Ramadan Sharif can come. I want that he must get place in a big masjid. My son is reading. Jalsa Thema tomorrow koi. My time is finishing. I'm not saying this jalsa. I'm saying general. But daily do I call my child, or weekly, or even monthly. But you all sit here, your mother is here, brothers, sisters, Mishraam. Read some Quran Sharif for us. Now imagine Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu that read Quran Sharif to me. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu, he begins reciting Surah An-Nisa. And he comes to this ayat al-kareema, فَكَيْفَ إِلَىٰ جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How will it be, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be witnesses brought forward, and you will be brought as a witness over these people, meaning over your ummah. You will have to testify on your ummah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his Mubarak hand, indicating to Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu that bus, enough. And Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu, how he must have been reading, sitting in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what concentration, looking down with adab, with respect. One side he has got the azmat of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. Then he's sitting in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ba'das khuda buzur to he islam uqtas. How he must have been making the tilawat. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to him to stop, and he raised his head and he looks at the Mubarak chehra of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sees tears flowing down. Tears flowing down the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hearing this ayat, then I am going to have to bear testimony against my ummah. Oh beloved ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are we making that more difficult or more easier upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imagine our son committed a crime, and a father is called to bear testimony in a shari court. There is no telling lies. If the father witnessed the crime of the son, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned when he passed a verdict that a certain lady, her name was also Fatima, she was from the Mafzumiya tribe, when she had committed some theft. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the case was brought to him, he said that her hand has to be cut. Nabi Kareem said, then the incident, I'm not going into the whole incident, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then delivered a khutbah. And in that khutbah he mentioned that if Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to commit a theft, then her hand too will be cut. That is the justice system of Islam. They do not look at faces and who the person is and then give a judgment. The same rule applies to all. So imagine if a son had to commit a crime. The father now is called in to bear testimony. How difficult would it be for the father to bear testimony against his own son? What will the father say to the son? That, beta, what you did to me? Why you put me into this situation? That father's love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing compared to the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has for his ummati. So me as an ummati, am I making that easier for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or more difficult with my actions? So to listen to Quran Sharif is also an ibadat-e-maqsooda. So Hazrat was mentioning that to read Quran Sharif, to listen to Quran Sharif, all this is an ibadat. But what is the main thing? The main thing is to understand what is the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the message from Allah ta'ala? In this kalam of Allah ta'ala, what is Allah ta'ala instructing me? This is an instruction book. It is a book of hidayah. It is a book in which there are ahkam. There are laws. What is the instruction of Allah ta'ala towards me? What are my do's and don'ts? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to abstain from? So how much of dhyan am I giving to that? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that if a person, he wants to take up some profession, so he wants to do some PhD in something or whatever. So if somebody has to ask him that what course are you doing? So he gives all those symbols. He's doing this course or that course or whatever. So if he is doing that course, he's not qualified in that. After he does the course, then he becomes qualified in that. The Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very beginning of the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that this is a book, there is no doubt in it. So in other words, you don't have to have any worries that no, you know, I'm going to still check this up or check that. No, this is Allah's kalam. There is no doubt in it. So every instruction is 100%. Every prohibition is 100%. There's no room for me to have a choice in the matter, for me to decide on the matter. There's no room for that. This is Allah Ta'ala's kalam. But who will get hidayah is those who adopt taqwa. Those who have taqwa. A person has to bring the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, the yaad of Allah Ta'ala into his life. Then he will be able to benefit from this Quran Sharif. The true benefit. He will get that hidayah. Otherwise, as Maulana mentioned, that so many are becoming hafiz. Right? So many are becoming hafiz, but they can't be found in masjid. So many places, they are hifz classes. And if the hifz class is running Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, and they got a Fajr class. So all those hifz students are in the masjid. But on Sunday, there's no hifz class. Father and son, gum. Both are not there. And they're living in the area, not that they're living somewhere else. So, is there some masla that Fajr namaz is only for us when hifz class is on? No. So the child is becoming hafiz. The father wants his child to become hafiz. But Allah's instruction? What about Allah Ta'ala's instruction? That we are ignoring? That we are not worried about Allah Ta'ala's instruction? Hibs Asatiza, they phone, say, Maulana, we got students in our Hibs class, they got taza haircut. In other words, they are shaving portion of their head, number one, or shaving it off or whatever, and other side is long. Now this is prohibited. If it's shaved one side, and the other side is long. So this is prohibited. Now the child is doing hifz. If we tell the child, must go cut his hair, the father is coming to fight. So then, oh father, why are you making your child a hafiz? So the ustad now is in a difficult position. One side you say, no, if I keep this child, maybe I can mold him. Otherwise, if I hit him out of the hips class, now I'll lose him. And on the other hand, he's thinking now, what kind of a Hafizul Quran am I making? Am I supposed to be compromising so much with this child? That now he'll become a Hafiz, and after that, he's moving around with a thumping music in his car, pulling his vape, hopefully it's only that. Before, when the child was smoking cigarettes, it was like a big problem. Today, the father comes to enroll the child in a madrasa, says, no, no, likely he's okay, he only smokes cigarettes. This is the zamana we have come to. Likely he's alright, he only smokes cigarettes, or he's only vaping. So now this ustad is stuck now. Which way do I go? One side, I rather hold on to this child in the hope that he will change. Other side, is this going to be one of those statistic kuffars now? He will become a Hafiz. One year down the line, he forgot his Quran Sharif. He got three girlfriends. He's looking like a hippie, thumping the sound everywhere. He's supposed to have been making the environment fragrant with the tilawat of Quran Sharif. But now he is polluting the environment with the sounds of shaitan. So one is reading the Quran Sharif, memorizing the Quran Sharif, listening to the Quran Sharif, and the other is adhering to the Quran Sharif. Brothers, remember, if my child doesn't become a Hafiz, there's no guna. If my child becomes a Hafiz, there's lot of virtue. Lot of virtue. But if he doesn't become a Hafiz for whatever reason, there's no sin. There's no sin on the child, there's no sin on the father. But beloved brothers, our children, our elders, mashallah, they are all doing well. But we talk about ourselves. That if we're not following the laws of Allah Ta'ala, all our children can be Hafiz. All our children can be in Alima Madrasa. Our son can become Molisab also. But if we're not following the laws of Allah Ta'ala, we are going to be sinful on the day of Qiyamah. We are going to be criminals in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this deen must come into our life. Deen must come into our life. I mentioned this morning, and I told the brothers there in the masjid, I said, by Sunday morning, when the brain is not braining, you know, Sunday morning after Fajr, the brain is not braining as yet. So just listen attentively to what I'm saying, so you don't misquote me. Otherwise, sometimes person can misunderstand something. So I explained to them in the morning, that see, getting involved in a work of deen does not automatically mean that deen came into my life. Getting involved in a work of deen is in order to bring deen in my life. I can go and take bayat to a sheikh. I can wear the same topi as him, same kurta as him. I can attend his majalis. But if I'm not bringing deen in my life, then my just being bayat to the sheikh doesn't mean that deen came in my life. I can be doing my ingash, my outgash, my shabduzari, my 40 days a year. But if I'm not bringing deen in my life, then my involvement in the work doesn't automatically mean that deen came in my life. I can join a hijz class, I can become an alim, I can even do iftar. But if I never bring the deen in my life, then merely doing that doesn't mean that deen came in my life. So Hazrat was mentioning that this is a very important thing, that we got to see what is the message of the Quran. That is what I could bring into my life. I got to now love the Quran. When my Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked to describe Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she asked, don't you read the Quran? Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His life, his ways, his akhlaq, his mannerisms was the Quran Sharif. So you read the Quran Sharif, you are reading about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat mentioned that in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak about aqaid. Our aqidah will be spoken about. Allah ta'ala will speak about ibadat. Each point can be elaborated. I am not going into the details of our ulama, inshallah, they will explain it to you in detail in time to come. Allah ta'ala will speak about our business dealings. Now you take our business dealings. Today this riba has become an order of the day. Interest dealing has, brothers, it is so sad that even mu'mineen are lending money on interest. They are lending money on interest. Inshallah, it's not happening in your place. They are lending money, making panel beating one, two mustards this way, that way, and giving money, lending money on interest. So Hazrat mentioned in that bayan, he said that a person rather have the ground as his bed, have a brick as his pillow, and have the stars as his roof. Then get involved in interest dealings and enter into a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that if we look into our business dealings, our transactions, our muashara, everything has been covered in the Quran Sharif. And there are many things, the details of which are not mentioned in the Quran Sharif, in every one of these departments. The details are not mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So what Allah Ta'ala told us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُولُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives you, you take it. Whatever He stopped you from, you abstain. So all the details you will find in the Ahadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now these, so much to be discussed. If you had somebody really learned sitting in front of you, they could unpack all these things. Now we are like the menu. You go to some place, you give your menu. But the menu, there is no halal in the menu. The menu is what? Now we got this and that and that and that on the menu. So wo hamara kaam hai. We are just the menu. We just tell you like this, that, that. So here your ulama here, they will be able to cook it for you now and feed you. So hold on to our ulama, hold on to our asatiza, our beloved students that are becoming fast, ulama, etc. Don't take this thing lightly. When a ni'mat becomes arm, then we start to lose the value of it. Don't take it lightly. This is a big thing, a great thing. And we have to live up to it. We have to step up to it. So many countries, as we mentioned in the beginning, they had it with them. Those countries were the main countries for deen. And when they started losing the value, Allah took it away. Allah took it away, Allah put in another country. Wallahi, I am telling you brothers, ask those who travel. Ask those who travel. Sit with the Jamaat brothers, those who go here and there, this country, that country. Speak to them. Ask the businessmen who go here and there for business. Ask them, what is the level of deen in our country? They will tell you, bhai, what we got in our country, even Muslim countries don't have. Wallahi, I'm telling you what we got in our country. Allah has really blessed us. Every work of deen is flourishing in our country. Every tabla of deen is flourishing in our country. And Allah has still kept the desire in the hearts of the people that my child has become hafiz, my child has become alim. But let us not let shaitan dupe us into thinking that he ends him. There's so many things flooding the mind. But floods are not good also. So we have to stop also. The main thing is we need to listen to the khatam of the Quran Sharif and engage in some dua. Allah Ta'ala accept this with fast, the asatiza, the parents, institutes, their ustaz, everybody who made dua, everybody who was had a hand in these children completing their Quran. Allah Ta'ala accept them and keep them qaim, keep them with istiqamah, bless them with the noor of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana.